The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. Manx Radio's Man in Line in session till 1. Call 66 13 68. To put your point to the Isle of Man, you can text on 166 177, SMS, email studio at manxradio.com. We had one new case of COVID-19 identified yesterday, so now 11 cases in the community. 302 people are waiting for the result of a test, and 245 people booked in for a test today. On the vaccination dashboard, we're noting 63,233 first doses have been administered on the island and 40,835 second doses. 6,974 people are booked in for a jab over the next 7 days. The Department of Health and Social Care is holding 12,528 shots of vaccine in stock. It's predominantly Oxford AstraZeneca and Pfizer, BioNTech, the majority. It's something like 62% Oxford AstraZeneca, 37% is Pfizer, and the remnants are Moderna, I think something like 1,485 shots, just under 1,500 shots of Moderna have been administered. And I just want to bring a note in from a lady who emailed in. It's Audrey in Ireland, who said, I visit the Isle of Man frequently, and under the new border rules, the Isle of Man isn't accepting visitors who've been vaccinated with the J&J vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is being given in Ireland. The health department informed me it hasn't been approved on the Isle of Man, so you can't travel under the new rules with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. But the vaccine's been widely used in the UK and Ireland. I can't understand why the Isle of Man has got a problem with Johnson & Johnson. It's also unfair, as I'm fully vaccinated, and the Department of Health in Ireland have no problems with the vaccine. In fact, they may start rolling it out to the under-40s on the Isle of Man. We'll see if we can get a response from that, but the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which has been in America for quite a while, although it was, I think it's a Dutch vaccine originally, it was, Janssen? Janssen, the Belgian parent company is Janssen Pharmaceuticals, but it is a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, you know, the Band-Aid plaster people. But not acceptable in the Isle of Man. Well, we'll try and get to the bottom of that particular story. The Elms are exciting. Lots and lots of activity in Tynwald today. The Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister is meeting with the landowner behind the controversial plans to axe 25 elms on the Braid Road in St Mark's. This morning's sitting of the House of Keys, well, it was all happening. It was all happening. Geoffrey Boot told members the only way to stop the felling is through negotiations with the applicants or a petition of doliance. He says planners had followed the correct procedures, and this was his response when he got heckled from the public gallery.
Perhaps someone should have told you. Perhaps the Maloof commissioners should have been more proactive. I don't know. I can't answer that. But I'm just telling you that this is the statute situation. So no one did anything, and I really appreciate the fact that people are engaged in the community. They believe in biosphere, they believe in trees, they believe in our environment going forward and climate change. That's great. And isn't it wonderful how powerful social media is? But sadly, sometimes things happen in the wrong order. Had this happened prior to the 21 days expiring, then we would be in a different situation completely. But it's happened, and we are where we are. I'm sorry about that.
Geoffrey Boot, MHK, the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister, talking about we are where we are. And the fact that that planning application, whether it was visible, not very visible, hidden, however it was, the planning application was there. And suddenly now, when the, if you like, push comes to shove, when the landowner wants to cut the trees down, everyone gets interested, excited, motivated by all this. I just wonder what you think about this and what it does. Whether or not you agree, and I'll just ask you to take any emotion out of the situation, just whether or not you agree with what's going to happen. There is a process that's happened. It has happened. It's in statute. That's where we are. I just wonder whether you think that if this is stopped at the last minute, for whatever reason, what that does to the integrity of the planning process. One of the reasons given for the approval of the application was to improve road safety. Now, Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker said that was nothing to do with his department.
Would the Minister agree with me that this issue relates purely to a private planning application to create a new access to a property for whatever purposes the landowner seeks it, that it is not related, as has been reported, to a road safety improvement scheme, that the Department of Infrastructure's Highways Division role in plan applications is simply to ensure that what is proposed does not have an adverse impact on highway safety?
Well, we'll find out more tomorrow. Tim Baker, MHK, is live on Man in Line tomorrow. You can talk to him about everything that his department does, and there's a lot to it. First of all, there's Douglas Promenade. There's the new landing stage in Liverpool at Prince's Half Tide Dock. Public transport, potholes, sea terminal, absolutely everything. He's got an enormous department, Mr. Baker, and he'll be live on Man in Line tomorrow. The bad news I gave you earlier on this week was that we won't be going to St. Ninian's High School because of the particular COVID situation at St. Ninian's, with one teacher in isolation. However, springing off the bench, Ramsey Grammar School will be at Ramsey Grammar School on Thursday. So we're happy to talk to the Year 12s at Ramsey Grammar School. We'll have lots of fun at Ramsey Grammar School. So this Thursday, live at Ramsey Grammar School, and hoping to fit in St. Ninian's between now and the end of term, as it were. So any thoughts on this? Text, email, or call. It could be the Elms. It could be on the fact that they're watching out for drug enforcers coming to the Isle of Man. Can you imagine that? Well, apparently they've arrested people already. Three arrests. Two people are in court charged with firearms offences. Three people were arrested in Douglas yesterday on the first day of a relaxation for the Isle of Man's borders. Comes as the police, the constabulary, carry out Operation Strongbox. Everything's got a name, hasn't it? Operation Strongbox, which is aiming to tackle any issues involving criminal activity at the Manx borders. Police have confirmed two individuals have been charged with firearms offences after an imitation firearm was found in their vehicle after disembarking from the boat on Sunday night. They're in court today. Three were arrested in total on Monday morning in relation to two separate criminal matters, which are still being investigated. Well, we have been forewarned of this, police have said, and indeed, remember, it was a few weeks ago that the Home Affairs Minister, Mr. Crajean, was in the studio, and he talked about the fact that police were wary of it then, preparing for it then. The fact that lots of drugs have been sent to the Isle of Man during COVID, primarily through the post. There are other ways that drugs get to the Isle of Man, but a lot of stuff then has been seized at the sorting office. But obviously the people who the drugs were supposed to go to are now liable for the debt, and the collectors are on their way. But it seems the constabulary is well in charge of this, so we'll see. Harry joins us now on Man in Line. Hello, Harry.
Hi, Duke. I'm just intrigued. I thought you had to have permission from the Forestry Board to cut down trees.
Obviously not, if this is the case.
Or somebody's jumped the gun.
According to Mr. Boot, that's where we are in statute at the moment. There's only two ways. A petition of doliance could stop it, he said.
Well, I would have thought it'd be intriguing to have an answer from the minister who deals with the Board of Ag as to whether they gave permission for the trees to be cut down or not.
What, on a private piece of land?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the landowner applied for planning permission, has been granted planning permission and is ready to proceed forward, I would imagine. So why would the forestry board want to get involved?
Because you're not allowed to cut down trees or any part of a tree where the diameter is more than 4 inches without the permission from the forestry board.
Do you think the trees, the elms, should be saved, Harry?
Oh, definitely.
Even though the planning process has been gone through?
Yeah, two wrongs don't make a right. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know about petitions of dolians, but I just think that somebody should put a stop to it and say, I'm sorry, you didn't comply with all of these other regulations which are there in the site. And that's why I think.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today, Harry. Peter's with us now. Hello, Peter.
Hi. Good afternoon, Andy. I just wanted to say, I support sort of keeping the trees as they are. What I'm frustrated about as a Manx resident is that we seem as a public to only jump on these things at the last minute rather than, you know, in the early stages. So I sort of have some frustration that, you know, it's gone right the way through the process and only at the last minute everyone wants to save the elms. And this happens in a lot of cases on the island. You know, so I'd like to see the Manx public taking more of an interest in the early stages of when we have cases like this, you know, rather than, you know, let people in a polite way waste their time for weeks and weeks only to get to where we are, you know, whether it's in Tynwald or anywhere else.
Do you think people are less interested in planning matters now than they used to be? I mean, when they used to be in the papers all the time, everybody knew what was going on.
Yes and no. I think we've also got to be careful that sometimes people put planning applications they position them where they're not the easiest to see. So I think you have to sort of go out your way to sometimes find these. But I think my point is there's a lot of politicians as well who've sort of jumped on the elm tree bandwagon in the last few days, when I'm sure the residents locally probably could have raised this earlier. Maybe they did, and maybe someone, you know, politician didn't pick it up. I don't know. But I just think, you know, as a population, we need to be quicker off the mark in questioning these type of decisions, whether it's planning or anything else.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today, Peter.
No problem.
Okay, 19 minutes past 12. Here's Howard on Man in Line today. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. No, it's just driven in there. I thought the ruling, the law was on the island here, and this is only a delaying factor for the trees. You're not allowed to cut or damage trees while the nesting season is in being for the birds. I know we've had crows come into the eaves of our house, and we cannot touch them now because it's the nesting season until September. If you do disturb them or otherwise, there's up to a £10,000 fine. So it's not going to stop it as such, but it will certainly delay this until the nesting season, the breeding season's over, which will be around about September.
I've not heard. I mean, there are all sorts of rumours about the fact that, you know, people may be ready with chainsaws at a moment's notice, but I've not heard that they are about to be felled.
No, no. But apart from that, as it's on what they say, a dangerous piece of road, they can't just go with a chainsaw. They're going to have to close that road.
Oh, that's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point. They would have to.
Yeah, because they would have to be what they term as a soft falling felling, where they would take them down from the top, which means it's going to take, well, I would say a month. I'm not an arborist, but I would say at least a month. So that road would have to be shut for that period of time while they take the trees down. Plus the fact that then after that, they're going to have to root all the stumps out. But the main thing is, it's a government ruling that you're not allowed to disturb nesting birds. Look at all the adverts on Manx Radio about up on the airs and everything. And they keep threatening them with £10,000 fines. Well, that there then is after the nesting season, you can possibly go into taking the trees down. I I'm not in favour of it. I'm definitely against it. But they shouldn't touch those trees until at least September.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling today. Brian joins us now. Hello, Brian.
Hello. How are you?
Very happy today because it's a lovely day, Brian.
It's a beautiful day. Two subjects. I'll touch on the trees first. A process has been gone through, and the outcome is as we see, and we're all bleating on about it. But the fact is, we put our trust and our faith in government to look after our interest. In this case, I would have thought that the planning committee would have taken on board the feelings that people were bound to have over these trees. They must have predicted there would have been an outcry. And they have taken the decision, and they are now responsible for that decision. They can't absolve themselves for it. They get paid, and they have the kudos of sitting on the planning bench. Now they have to take responsibility because, though I hate to agree with Mr. Boot, the process has been followed.
So do you think it's a planning committee's job or function to anticipate sentiment?
Yes, exactly. That's all they've got to do. I mean, what else are they supposed to do? You know, we lay down the criteria, but they have to decide whether this is an acceptable development that will be acceptable to the people of the island. Now, I don't know whether they have to get licenses. I believe it's 75 millimetres, not 4 inches. It's gone down. Anything over 75, you would normally require a permit. But in this particular instance, they have planning consent. Whether that supersedes the forestry board or not, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is they do have permission to remove the trees. I'm appalled at that. But somebody has allowed them to do it.
Okay, what else did you want?
I'd like to move on to another subject, if I may.
Okay, by all means.
Potentially much more serious. Today, I believe, is the closing date for nominations for commissioners for Onchan.
It is indeed.
And we have mayhem in Onchan commissioners. And it's costing us all money. I won't name names, but we have seen 4 clerks all leave or be pushed and been settled in court. We have senior staff in the surveyors department. I've heard the attitudes or atmosphere in the boardroom as being toxic. This is costing me money and I object to it. But how many people have put their names forward? As you probably know, I spent 10 years on Onchan commissioners, and we had a very good board in those days. And if I had my way now, I think they should put a stop to this election. I don't know whether it's a legal one or not, because under the Representation of the People's Act, they were supposed to advertise this election and tell us who the returning officer was going to be. Well, at this moment in time, they've suspended their returning officer. So whether the election would be legal or not, that's for others to decide. But certainly, I think the people of Onchan should be told what a mess the situation is. And I think that board should step aside and dig out people like Tim Norton and the like, who served Onchan very, very well, sensibly, and could have their arguments. I mentioned the late Terry Black, who I argued with on many occasions in that boardroom. We had totally differing views from time to time, but he remained a very close friend, and we'd step outside the boardroom and be the best of friends at all times. And to have Onchan, one of the premier authorities of the island, in such mayhem is appalling, absolutely disappointing and appalling.
Without naming names and without talking about personalities, how can something like that descend from a, you know, civilized disagreements that you had on Onchan commissioners? How can it come to the soap opera that we've got now?
I really don't know. There's a clash of personalities in there. We've got a total lack of common sense in there. We have a lack of practical experience in there. And personalities are starting to clash, or have been clashing for some time. And it's really appalling as far as I'm concerned. If I were in Onchan Commissioners now, given that it was my motion to reduce the membership some years ago, down from what was actually 12, 10 and 2 rural members, down to 7, I would be trying to reduce it further to 5 at all possible haste, because they're finding difficulty to fill the 7 seats. Now, if we've got mayhem in the board and we don't have an election, what does that say about the state of Onchan?
Well, it says that the public seem not to be bothered, Brian.
Absolutely, 100%. And we're not bothered, and it's the royal we, we're not bothered until a committee decides to pull some trees down, and then we're all up in arms. We need to be proactive in this case. The people who represent us, make the decisions on our behalf, and look after our interests, and more importantly, the interest of our children, because way money's being spent on this island, I'll be long since dead before even a percentage of it has been paid for. We need to be really responsible and take an interest in the people and their actions at board level.
But as you say, Onchan isn't a tiny parish tucked away somewhere. It's a big centre. It's a suburban centre, and it has responsibilities. It has a big budget as well. So I'm just wondering why people aren't fighting to become commissioners.
I really can't tell you. The whole thing in politics is absolutely appalling. Social media hasn't helped that. I mean, I resigned from the board under a cloud. The squash club in Onchan made accusations and told lies. We haven't got investigative journalists on the island who could have just gone through the minutes of the meeting to prove that what was alleged against me was total lies. But nobody bothers, and the public will latch on to any nonsense at all, and once aspersions have been cast, so I wash my hands of the whole affair. But coming out of that, you know, we had, when I left that boardroom, we had a successful and cohesive board who were working for the people, who were saving money and aiming to reduce the rates. The rates have now gone completely haywire. We're almost doubling it in the time since I left. They're spending money replacing staff hand over fist and senior staff. I mean, that's got to be the last resort to actually suspend your clerk. But when you look back and you see they've done this with at least 3 previous clerks in recent years, I mean, that's bizarre.
Okay. All right, Brian. Thanks for... we're happy for you to put all that before everyone today. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today. Yes, it is. The deadline for submitting completed nomination papers is today, Tuesday, 29th of June, for local elections. And when we know all the people who've declared or whether things are happening uncontested, we'll let you know from all the local authorities across the Isle of Man. But strange times in various local authorities on the Isle of Man. And I have to say, on the big day itself, July 22nd, we will have a live late night programme talking about the reactions and the results for our local authorities. I just want to go back and bring you that to Manx Wildlife Trust. Situation regarding the trees in St. Mark's. The Manx Wildlife Trust believes that the decision and process was wrong over the plans to cut down part of the elm tree tunnel in St. Mark's. Manx Wildlife Trust met with senior DEFA staff yesterday to discuss the proposal to cut about 25 elms down on the Braid Road, that famous elm tunnel. It's part of an approved planning application to improve access and road safety out of Ballyvervain Farm. The decision to cut down the trees has already sparked a petition to save them, which has now got over online 33,000 signatures. A peaceful protest was held at St Mark's at the weekend. And today, there was an urgent question in Keys and a demonstration outside as well. Manx Wildlife Trust Chief Exec Lee Morris says, this is highly emotive. The case has resulted in some highly inappropriate comments towards Geoffrey Boot, the DEFA minister, and the chair of planning committee, Martin Perkins. Lee Morris adds, whilst politicians may sometimes face criticism, comments have gone way over the top, way beyond that, and urges personal attacks to stop immediately. The Manx Wildlife Trust is hopeful a solution can be found to make sure the trees aren't felled. The planning committee makes decisions, says Mr. Morris, that based on the information presented to them, and on this occasion, I think the information in front of them was lacking. Middle MHK Bill Shimmins has criticised Geoffrey Boot for not granting Manx Wildlife Trust interested party status, which would give it a statutory right to appeal.
In his opening statement, Minister Boot described the Manx Wildlife Trust as sensationalist. I and over 30,000 others are very grateful for their input. The Minister will recall that he personally removed interested party status from Manx Wildlife Trust and many other concerned organisations. And this was against the results of a clear public consultation. He then vigorously resisted attempts in this Honourable House and Timbrel Court to reinstate and grant interested party status. Mr. Boot has said that the window of opportunity has been closed. It is he who closed the window of opportunity. I would ask Minister Boot to take off his Teflon jacket and take some responsibility for this mess. Will he now support the granting of interested party status to the Manx Wildlife Trust?
So many issues raised by this, and Brian raised them. The fact that there has been a legitimate planning process gone through and a planning committee has come to a decision, the fact that Brian said people get involved at the last minute. And can you really expect a political process, a planning process to be stopped at the last minute just because people, however many people, just get on board and think it's a good idea to get on board? Couple that with the fact that there may be many local authority seats that are taken uncontested. So where does the engagement in politics come? Does it come right at the last minute when something happens that you don't like, or should people get involved before? And when I say some people, should people, perhaps that's you. Andy, with the police stopping cannabis imports to the Isle of Man, but in doing so, it's raised the street value of cannabis and made it more lucrative for criminals. So we have to ask ourselves, says M, does prohibition work? Regarding the approval to destroy the beautiful elms, maybe the department should revert to publishing requests in the local papers. The public will then have been informed in advance, says Ruth as well. The planning decision overrides the need for a license to fell a tree. They could cut them down right now, says Jane, if they wanted to.
Lovely to see you, Auntie, even if it is over the internet.
Yes! Sorry I've not been able to come over. How's that nephew of mine?
Geoffrey's fine. I'll just shout him.
He looks lovely and peaceful there.
Geoffrey! Come and talk to Auntie.
Not as quiet as I thought, dear.
I don't know what we'd do without our Spectrum double glazing.
For very effective double and triple glazing, visit spectrumwindows.im or the showroom Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Tickets are now available for this season's range of onboard dining events, featuring old favourites including the legendary Pie and Mash Train, the Curry Club and many more. Or take your taste buds on a trip to remember with our fabulous Dining Cars of the World and Steam Theme events. To find out what's cooking on the dining car and to book, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
Ethel Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model with dedicated aftercare too. With Ethel, you get a competitive fixed price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Athol!
Athol, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at athol.im or call the 18 820082.
In December 2017, the Keepers of the Manx Language launched a strategy to broaden its appeal, understanding and use. Speaking then, former Manx Language Development Officer Adrian Kane.
The one's called Gilcat, the Department of Education, Monja Verga, Culture Vannon. Sit down, plan out where we think we might be in 5 years. What are the problems we're going to be facing and, you know, how we go about dealing with them.
So what's changed? We hear from some members of GBIN, the Manx Language Network, as they enjoy hashtag Gilk21, a month-long celebration of Manx. Stratej Sona Gilk with me, Dolan Mercer, tonight from 6 on Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 23 minutes before 1. A note in from Phil just said, I've been a supporter of Mr. Quayle over the last year, but I think opening the Isle of Man just before Tynwald Day is madness. Is it just a coincidence, or is opening up the Isle of Man just before Tynwald Day a bit suspicious? For many of the MHKs, it's the last time they may be able to sit on the hill. Last year, when we had no positive cases for weeks before Tynwald Day, they urged us not to go. This year, seems they're hell-bent on getting everyone to mix, including hundreds of untested visitors. It's next Monday. Tynwald Day, will you be going, I wonder? Here's Chop on Man in Line. Hello, Chop.
Hello, Pastor May, Andy, how are you?
Well, we're all well here.
Good. Just to build on what I was talking about yesterday about these trees in St. Mark's, and I was listening to Tynwald there this morning on AM, and all the planning procedures have been followed correctly. Minister Boot said that he's got pictures of the planning application that was clearly on show, you know, that the yellow bit of paper. Everything's been followed correctly as far as I'm aware of listening to Tynwald this morning. And I think now, you know, it's only come to light because people are starting to dig their heels in now. From listening to the debate this morning, I think it's too little too late. And again, building on what I was saying yesterday, I only thought about it after I got off the phone to yourself, was now, if you went home, had 25 apples in your fridge, and 18 of them were completely rotten, you know, they go all black and horrible and completely knackered, then what would you do? You'd throw them out, you'd get rid of them. You wouldn't leave them in there. I mean, I know this is a wild comparison. But, I mean, you know, if you went home and you had that many rotten apples in your fridge, you'd get rid of them. You wouldn't keep them there. And I understand, you know, people's frustration about dropping trees. And people probably think, listening to me now, that, you know, I'm all for getting rid of trees. I'm not. I'm all for protecting trees. But, I mean, I think if they're damaged and they're knackered, why would you keep it? But I think listening to Tynwald this morning, everything has been followed correctly. All the planning procedures have been followed. And I think now people are digging their heels in because what they're doing is too little too late.
Okay. All right. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Chop, good to hear from you.
Cheers, mate.
All right. 21 minutes before 1 on Manx Radio. Just a quick note about GPs this coming Thursday. Routine GP appointments aren't going to be available from 1 till 6. This Thursday, GPs are attending the latest education session. They're going back to school. If you need to see a doctor urgently on the specified day, call the surgery for an appointment with the on-call GP. Practices will remain open during the afternoon for patients to collect test results, make future appointments and get repeat prescriptions and what have you. But the education sessions have been going on for the best part of 10 years now. And there's another one this Thursday from 1 till 6. GP routine GP appointments aren't available. So now you know. Lots of commenting coming about the trees and everything else. Now all the residents have been moved out of the Corran home, says Peter. Could you say thank you to all the staff? Have been fantastic. My mum was there for a few years and loved it, and I think they've all been let down by the trustees. Well, that's your opinion, Peter. I think the management wasn't all it should be. But anyway, Peter saying thank you to all the staff. There was an official announcement last week. Ken Watterson dropped us a note in just to say, it was with deep regret that the Save the Corran Home Group, set up to try to stop the closure of the home by the trustees of the Corran Trust, have decided that despite their best efforts, the trustees cannot be prevented from closing the home as well. Despite a proposed closure date of the 31st of July, the last residents left Peel last week. and their beds were offered for sale on Facebook last night. That was a note in from Ken Watterson. Over the last few days, the main entrance to the home has been the scene of unparalleled grief for residents, families and carers in tears as they bade farewell amongst residents' pleas of, you were so kind to me, please come and visit me, you were part of my family. And said Kent, there wasn't a trustee in sight. Anyway, that's the situation regarding the Corran home. Eddie joins us now. Hello, Eddie.
Hello there. Just about the local elections.
Yeah.
I live in Williston, and as far as I'm concerned, I don't think there's an election going on. I've had no information from anybody who's standing. I don't even know who is standing.
Have you had any manifestos through your letterbox?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Absolutely zero.
Well, the nominations close today, so you would imagine between now, well, the 22nd of July is the election.
Yeah.
So they should be knocking on your door shortly, Eddie.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But also about the trees, it's no good saying that everything was followed, as they've been saying, to the letter. You can't say it's to the letter when the notice was 20 yards back from the road. And it's a 50-mile-hour road. Who's going to see that notice? I mean, before, as it used to be, it was always put in the papers and everybody knew what was going on with the planning. Now it's like a secret organisation. You only find out after the fact.
So do you think the fact that they say this is all available, you can go online, you can click through and find the applications?
Well, I can't. As simple as that. I read papers. I still read papers. I buy a paper every day. I don't go on the internet. So this is the difference. As far as our wonderful government is concerned, everybody is on a computer all the time.
Now, I don't want to conflate too many things together, but there's a big talk, there's a big trend to government transparency. Do you think that the planning process is transparent?
They've gone and taken all. They've gone and said, unless you're basically living next door to anybody, then you haven't got the right to object, no matter what it is. They've gone and taken that right. I mean, your organisations that used to protect trees and all the rest of it are now allowed to object because they've gone and taken that away because they're not personally involved. That's Mr. Booth and his department did that, and people should remember that.
Okay, all right, Eddie, thanks for calling us today.
All right.
I hope you get the commissioners on your doorstep soon. I'm sure it'll be great fun. Still on the issue of opening the borders and crime, one MHK has raised concerns that some visitors might try to gain entry to the Isle of Man using fake documents, bogus documents. To travel to the Isle of Man, you need proof of 2+2 status. Well, Claire Christian, one of the Douglas South MHKs, claims fake vaccination cards are already available.
You know, you can get a vaccine certificate on the darknet for £25. I never got an answer from the minister about that. I hope he's going to address these concerns and quickly. And also I'm concerned about when people arrive off the aeroplanes or the boats, they're going to be mixed up. You know, you're going to have people who have been double vaccinated and they're going to go on to public transport. You're going to have people who are coming back and they need to isolate. Now, in their direction notices, it says you cannot go onto public transport. But, you know, what's to say they're not going to just go with the flow?
How do you feel about this? It's 12:45 on Manx Radio. Claire Christian, currently one of the Douglas South MHKs with Paul Quine in the election, so far declared for Douglas South, Sarah Maltby for the Manx Labour Party. Plenty of notes in today about everything, really. Regarding the tree felling, the landowner went through everything legally. The planning application went through. He can't suddenly stop a planning application, as this defeats the purpose of what the planning application is for in the first place, says this correspondent. Maybe the tree huggers, their words, not mine, should pay a bit more attention to planning applications in the future. That's the system. Harry, your call is correct. You need to have a license to cut down trees if you are on your own property. The form is online. It has to be completed with pictures, apparently. But then again, somebody else said planning application bypasses that licence as well. Some notes in regarding the... Totally agree with the previous gentleman. If you read the commissioner's agenda, the planning is listed. People still have the time to put their name forward, by the way, to stand as a commissioner. Well, you've got a few hours anyway, Emma. If the yellow planning notice didn't mention cutting the trees, how can people react? Who cares about changing a decision? What about sacking the decision maker? Well, that seems to be the trend nowadays. If somebody gets something wrong, apparently they have to be sacked. As we start to enjoy the easing of border restrictions, police are warning some visitors may not be welcome on the Isle of Man. An operation's been launched to deter anyone hoping to use the relaxation to commit crime on the Isle of Man. Superintendent Steve Maddox talks about Operation Strongbox.
One of the things that we can foresee from the information that we have is that some people might try to use that opportunity to exploit the borders opening in relation to criminality, drug trafficking, money laundering, and also potential drug enforcement debts.
The Home Affairs Minister said that there was grave concern over that issue, the issue of people coming to the Isle of Man to enforce drug debts that have built up over the COVID period. Where does that concern come from? Is this anecdotal? Is this evidence-based?
It's a little bit of everything. There's evidence. There's also intelligence that we gather and things we get told by the community. So it's a mixture of the three, really, and we just want to make sure that our response is able to deal with that potential threat.
So how do you weed these people out that will be coming over?
Well, we work with our colleagues from the North West Police Forces, so Lancashire, Merseyside are the two particular partners that we have there. We share information, we share intelligence. We also share intelligence with customs, and we have our own network on the island of a line of information to tell us what might be who might be a potential drugs enforcer.
How violent are these people?
They can be very violent. They can use weapons on people. They can use intimidation. They can threaten members of their family. They can dish out quite severe sort of punishments to them.
Realistically, it's never the people at the top of the chain that carry out the enforcement work. It is vulnerable members of the community who are brought into their operation. What would be the police message to those people who are considering doing a run on behalf of a drug baron?
You must think of the consequences, and the consequences to them and the consequences to their family and loved ones. So the Isle of Man courts, if someone is convicted, have strong sentences for people who import drugs, and you're talking double figures for the importation of Class A controlled drugs. There's also been a ruling from the Staff of Government Court, the Appeal Court, in relation to sentencing for cannabis dealers and people who bring cannabis to the island to supply it on.
Three people were arrested in Douglas yesterday on the first day of a relaxation for the Isle of Man's borders. Constabulary started Operation Strongbox. Police have confirmed that those two individuals have been charged with firearms offences after an imitation firearm was found in their vehicle after disembarking from the boat on Sunday night. They're in court today. Three were arrested in total on Monday morning in relation to two separate criminal matters, which are still being investigated. As Shaw Taylor used to say, keep 'em peeled.
All right, Frank, we need your answer.
I'd say B. B, please, final answer.
We're saying B. Frank, that's the right answer. Congratulations, Frank. What are you going to do with the money?
I'm going straight to Pasco's of Tramode and get all new appliances for our kitchen. A new fridge, dishwasher, cooker and washer, maybe even a vacuum cleaner.
Find kitchen appliances galore at the island's premier electrical retailer, Pasco's of Tramode.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820 110 to arrange your visit.
Mike's Motors of Castletown is your local family-owned car, van and motorhome dealer. Down at Mike's Motors, we have a whole range of affordable vehicles with up to 7 years finance easily arranged and part exchange welcome. We buy and sell motorhomes too and have a fantastic choice in stock right now. Perfect for any staycation on our beautiful island. Visit our website, mikesmotors.im, for our latest stock. Or call 823-200. That's 823-200.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. It's 9 minutes before one. If you want to get in touch with Man in Line out of hours, two ways you can do it. We've got an answer phone on 682-631. Leave a message there. And you can also email maninline at manxradio.com. During the show, of course, you call 66 13 68 or email studio at manxradio.com.
The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
The Keys general election is 12 weeks this coming Thursday, September 23rd. And on Man in Line, you'll hear all the candidates for all the constituencies. The current Mayor of Douglas, John Jockin, is eyeing up a seat in Douglas East. For the third time, he's going to stand as an independent candidate. John Jockin was first voted into Keys in the 2015 by-election, but lost his seat in the general election the following year. The other candidates to have declared for Douglas East so far, Joni Farragher, Michael Josom and Christine Urquhart. The Douglas Promenade Scheme and support for hospitality along the stretch are key topics in the area. So, John Jockin, what does he think about these issues?
Something like that. I mean, that's an ifs and buts one, you know. But however, what I will say about the Manx people and their little curiosities is, I can remember the roundabout at the bus station. They didn't like that one. They didn't like the one at the sea terminal. They didn't like the traffic lights at the bottom of Broadway when they were installed. And they hated the one at B&Q. Somebody put a for sale sign in the middle of the one at B&Q. Manx motorists don't like change. It is a roundabout. You will get used to it. And it's built now, so we have to get on with what we've got.
But think of, so you said there's several decisions there that, you know, there seems to be a trend that people don't like it. Have, you know, you as someone who obviously, you know, lives in Douglas East, knows the people well, have you spoken to them beforehand to see what would actually improve that situation if there's a trend of people not being happy with road setups like the promenade?
I mean, I'm very lucky. In my previous job, I was a postman, so I got to see everybody in Douglas. At the moment, I'm retired. I have a little part-time job. I drive a taxi, so everybody that gets in the taxi tells me about the promenade, what they're doing, what they're having. Okay, so we make it round instead of oval, the roundabout. I mean, will it make any difference, you know? So, it doesn't look right. It is a little bit quirky. It's a little bit funny. It might become popular after a while. I don't know. But, I mean, as for the traffic management system, how it works, you won't know until it goes live. And then, I mean, the actual infrastructure of that promenade is built. There's nothing I or you can do about it, unless you want to re-dig it all up again. And that, we don't want to go back there, do we?
I mean, I suppose the point I'm going to try and get at with the promenade in general is the fact that it is, you know, smack bang in the middle of that constituency. It doesn't just affect the residents there. That is a main route in and out of the capital.
I mean, I think, you know, and I'm sorry, I'll hop back to it again. I don't think Douglas East has been represented properly because it hasn't had anybody that lives in Douglas East. They haven't had to deal with the problems that the people that live here have had. You know, they haven't communicated properly with the businesses along that promenade. They've had a pretty rough time. They've had COVID as well. And basically, when the government does get up and running, it's all about getting back on our feet, pulling together, giving it the old Dunkirk spirit that we've had over this past couple of years. And we need to get these businesses up and running, especially the hospitality, especially the hotels on that promenade. They need help, and as much help as we can give them.
Speaking of those hospitality businesses on the likes of the promenade, obviously they've been hit hard by the pandemic. Have they mentioned anything to you in particular? Do you feel that they'd have confidence in you to help improve that situation?
Well, as my duty as mayor, I invited them all in, as many groups as I could in, from the hospitality, the licensed victuallers, the nurses, the frontline, the police, everybody that was involved in the pandemic. I tried to thank them as much as I could. So you get to speak to them. They have had a very, very bad time, and we need to help them as much as we can. I know the Treasury Minister has put his hand in his pocket. Whether he can put his hand on his pocket a bit more, I don't know. I have to look at that if I get elected.
Do you feel the support's been adequate so far?
For some, Not for others. I think particularly the hospitality. I think the hospitality have had it particularly bad. I've spoken to them. I went outside Tynwald with the licensed vigilers to help them with their protests, you know, put a bit of profile to them. I don't know how they're getting on with the Treasury Minister, but I think particularly they were hit bad. I mean, you've got to remember, if somebody starts up in business, I mean, I was in business myself, and if this was to hit me when I started up within a year, it would have wiped me out. Completely would have wiped me out. But I mean, some of the more long-established businesses, yeah, they might be able to survive it, you know, because they've probably got a bit more in reserve. But the ones that were set up, they're the ones that have hurt the most.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio General Election mini-site at manxradio.com.
Here's a note in from Deborah, said Andy. Please let Man in Line listeners know access to the UK NHS app to prove you've had the double jab doesn't appear to work with Manx emails or Manx telephone numbers. My husband's got an O2 telephone number and a Gmail email. He managed to get on with both jabs there with the dates, and they were administered and what have you. I tried with my Manx email and Manx telephone number, and it said go into email for a 6-digit number. It doesn't arrive. You can't proceed any further. So tell me, are you getting on with the UK NHS app? Is it working? Is there a cheat to get through on it? How do you do it? That's it for Man in Line. Remember, tomorrow, Tim Baker, MHK, Department for Infrastructure. Thursday, live at Ramsey Grammar School. And thanks to producer Barry Redfern, I'm Andy Wynn. Back with Tim Baker tomorrow at high noon.